If you have your Bible this morning and would desire to read along with me, we're just going to read one single verse this morning, found in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 33, and we're going to read one verse, and that is the third verse. So Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 3. Jeremiah writes as God gives him prophetic utterance. So understand that this is God our Father speaking to us through the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah writes and says, "Call unto me." Again, this is God speaking. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." And I'm going to stop reading right there and ask that you bow your heads, and we will pray together and entreat the Lord for his anointing on the ministry of the word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for meeting with us here today. Thank you for the promise that when we gather in your name, you are in our midst. And truly, Lord, you have been in our presence thus far. And we come now to the reading of the word of the living God. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me and that you would enable me to express what you have placed within my spirit and placed within my heart this morning. Give us eyes of understanding, hearts that are touched of God to receive revelation from you this morning. I would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would divinely inspire what I speak, that you would give us liberty in the house of the Lord, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And give us liberty this morning to preach your word. Give me divine ability and bless me to be a blessing. Of my own self, I can do nothing and I am inadequate. But if you will touch me and enable me, give me capability and empower what is spoken, let it be words of life to our heart. Let Christ be glorified. Let the people of God be edified. We ask all of these things, Lord, in the mighty and marvelous name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said, amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, "Plug into the Power of Prayer." Plug into the power of prayer. I began to pray this past week and ask the Lord what he would have me to bring. And the Spirit of the Lord just kind of began to roll over in my heart to talk about the importance of prayer. How many of you know Jews pray? Muslims pray. Buddhists pray. Hello? And I have even seen those who claim to be atheists. I'm not kidding you. Years ago when I had the country rock band together and we were traveling around, I had a drummer that claimed to be an atheist. And I wasn't even living for the Lord at the time. And we'd get, you know, drinking and he would say, "Ah, there is no God." And I'd say, "You better just shut up. I'll beat God into you." Hello? He claimed to be, you know, complete atheist. One night we got in trouble and my wife literally saw a demonic spirit. And he walked in the room where we were and he saw it too. And I never seen an atheist hit his knee so fast in all of my life. Muslims do it. Jews do it. Hindus do it. Buddhists do it. Christians do it. We pray. We pray. This morning, I want to talk about getting plugged into the power of prayer. For you and I to understand the importance of prayer and the life of prayer in our lives, we must understand that prayer is not just some religious activity. We must understand that prayer is not just some religious ritual. We need to understand that prayer is not some kind of fundamental obligation or some kind of compulsory demand from our God. But we need to understand that prayer is absolute, sweet, holy communion. Prayer is a holy communication that literally touches the heart of God. Prayer is an opportunity to enter into the presence of the Almighty. Prayer is a place where the impossible becomes possible. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you got some impossibilities in life? How many of you got some situations that look like they are not overcomable? I got some good news. In prayer is where the impossible becomes the possible. Prayer is a place of surrender and change. Understand that this morning. Prayer is a place of surrender and change. How many of you have some things in your life that you would like to change? Well, I got some news for you. Our human willpower cannot make some changes in our life, no matter how much we will it, how much we want it. But I'm going to tell you something. In the secret place of the Most High, when you get in the presence of a living God, He is able to change things that you cannot change. Amen. Prayer is a place of surrender. And I'll tell you why. Because when we get in the presence of the holy God of this universe, you cannot come away from that experience unaltered and untransformed. If you have some areas in your life that you desire to be transformed, then I want you to know in prayer is the place that will bring about change in your life. Prayer is about changing us. Understand that. Prayer is about changing us. We just got through singing the song that He is perfect in all of His ways. Amen. There ain't anything about our God that needs to be changed. But there's a whole bunch of stuff about Pastor Gary that needs to be changed. And the only way to get it changed is get in the presence of the Lord. And in His presence, He transforms and makes us new. Often we get the idea that prayer is all about receiving, all about asking God to do this or asking God to do that. And if we're not careful, we'll get to thinking that prayer is all about getting something from God or having God do something for us. Hello? And don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. The Bible does teach us that in order for our needs to be met, we need to ask. James chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible said that you have not because you ask not. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and everyone that knocks, it'll be opened unto him. And everyone that seeks, they'll find it. Amen. But I want you to understand something this morning. Prayer is not just about us getting God to do something on our behalf. Amen. Prayer is about getting in a place where God can do something in our life. Amen. Amen. Prayer, we are absolutely instructed to pray concerning our needs, and we are absolutely instructed to entreat the Lord for his blessings. But I want you to know this morning that prayer is not just about us. Prayer is so much more. It's so much more. Our text this morning reveals to us, and it reveals to me, and the Lord began to speak to me about this text over this past week. And this text speaks volumes of revelation this morning, and I pray that you will just open your heart and open your spirit, and let's just go through this verse little by little and take it by bit, or just take it a little bit at a time and dissect it, if you will, and just see what powerful goodness is right here in that one little verse. And the first thing that I want you to notice is that God, not Jeremiah the prophet, but God, he says these words to start with, call unto me, call unto me. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? I'm talking about this morning. Stop and think about it for a moment. The eternal creator, the God that hung the stars in the heavens and gave them name, the God that out of the dust of the earth formed man and set him up and breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul, the God who is the great I am, the God who is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, he which was, which is, and which is to come, that God said to you and I, call unto me. Wow. I don't know about you, but if I were that really that important, I don't know if I'd give some folk the time of day. Hello? God says, call unto me. He's given us a personal invitation to pray. He's given us a personal invite to call upon his name. We have literally been invited by God to call upon him. God is saying in those three little words, you know my name and you know my number, and I'm giving you absolute permission to call my number anytime you need me. Call unto me. How many of you here this morning ever get those annoying telemarketer calls? I won 6 cruises this past week alone. It's amazing. I had one call one day and he said, you want to know how to make money? And I said, nope. He said, really? You don't want to know? I said, nope. Got it to burn. Thanks for the call. Hello? How annoying are some of the, and they usually call right at supper time, right? Right? Well, listen, God is not like the annoying call. God is not annoyed with our call. God gives us a special invitation to call. Call unto me. Call unto me. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, it's one thing to know that there is a party, and then it's another thing to be invited to the party. Hello? Amen. Well, it's one thing to know that we can go to God in prayer, and it's a whole other story to understand that we've been invited to come to the Lord in prayer. He's not annoyed when we call upon his name. Many of those annoying telemarketer calls, I've told him politely as I can, amen, no thank you, and please don't call again. But God is not annoyed when we call upon his name. Has the enemy ever whispered in your ear and told you when you were praying that you didn't have a right to ask God for anything? Hello? Has he ever sat down on your shoulder and told you that you don't have a right to call upon the name of the Lord? And then he begins to list all of the reasons why you don't have a right to call him. Well, I got one good reason this morning that you have a right to call upon him. God himself said, when you need me, you call. How good is that? How good is that? We have an invitation. Amen. When the enemy says you don't have a right, I beg to differ. We got all the right in the world. God himself said, call unto me. We've been invited. Psalms 50 and verse number 15, God says in his word in Psalms 50 and 15, he says, call upon me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalms 86 and verse number 7, the psalmist said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon the Lord, for he will answer me. Psalms 91 and verse number 15, God says, amen, God says, he shall call upon me, talking about his children. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in his time of trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him. Amen. Hallelujah. God says, when you need me, you call. Isaiah chapter 58 in verse 9, God says, then shalt thou call, and I shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and I shall say, here am I. Psalms 145 and verse number 18, the scripture said, the Lord is nigh unto all that call upon his name, and to all that call upon him in truth. Psalms 34 and 15 said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears is open unto their cry. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. I came to tell somebody that we need to plug into the power of prayer, and we got an invite from God himself to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon me. I love that. He says, call upon me. I'm not passing this off to somebody else. You know, have your people call my people, and I'll have my people get back to your people. Nope. It's more personal than that. Call unto me. Call unto me. I have always told my sons when they were growing up, and even to this day, I have always told them, if you get in trouble, if you have a need, if you come up against something that's bigger than you are, you call me. I got your back. I don't care what it takes. I'm on your side. I got you covered. Hello? I'll come with the full weight of my resources. I'll come with the full weight of my strength. Whatever you need, whatever you may find yourself against, I'll come, I'll help, I'll do it all, I'll do everything. Now, how many of you know my resources are limited? My strength is limited. But God's saying the same thing to us. You call upon me, I got your back. Whenever you come up against something that's bigger than you are, whenever you come up against something that you can't handle on your own, all you gotta do is call me, and I got your back. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. I got your back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Beloved, I want you to understand, God has got our back. Somebody here this morning needs some help. God says, call upon me. Somebody here this morning needs some direction. God says, when you don't know which way to turn, call upon me. I got your back. Amen. When you don't have any joy, God says, you call upon me, I'll open up a fountain of living water that'll give you joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Somebody here this morning needs some strength. God says, you call upon me, and I'll give you strength like wings, like an eagle, that you can run and not be weary. All you got to do is call. I got your back. Hallelujah. And then he says, I'll show you some stuff you don't even know. How many of you know you don't know a lot of stuff? Hello? He says, you call unto me. You call unto me. What an opportunity to go to the Lord with our needs and our and in our intimate fellowship and our intimate communication. God sees the intent and the motives of our heart. He says, you call unto me. And then I love the next line. He says, I will. Everybody say, I will. Now, this is not me speaking. This is not Jeremiah speaking. This is a promise of God. He said, when you call, I will answer. I will answer. And maybe you ever needed to talk to somebody and you got on the phone and it rang and it rang and it rang and it rang and nobody ever picked up. God said, I'm not going to do you like that. When you call, I will answer. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, we may not like his answer sometimes. Hello? But he said, I will answer. I will answer. Not I might answer, not I'll contemplate answering, not I'll mull it over and get back to you after I chew on it a while, but I will answer. I'm going to tell you something this morning, church. If we would just recognize that God desires to answer our prayers, it would drive many of us to our knees. And many of us this morning have all kinds of reasons why it won't work. I got one really good reason why it will work. God said, I will answer. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said in Numbers 23 and 19 that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? Amen. I came to tell somebody this morning, if God said, I will answer, then you can take it to the bank. God will answer your prayer. Hallelujah. I will answer. And he may not always answer the way we want him to answer, but he's promised, I will answer. Look what the scripture says in Matthew 6 and 6. Jesus said these words. He said, but when thou prayest, enter into your closet or enter into your secret place. And when thou hast shut the door behind thee, pray to the Father in secret. And the Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. How will he reward you? By answering your prayer. By giving you the direction that you need. By answering, I will answer. I want to put to rest some doubts in your mind this morning. For those of you that have had the enemy sit down on your shoulder and tell you, you have no right to ask. Yeah, you do. God himself said, you call and I will answer you. And then it's the next line of that verse that literally kind of takes my breath away. He says, you call and I'll answer. And I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Now I know, maybe I shouldn't put it that way. Yeah, well, I know some folks, you know, think they are a know-it-all. But I assure you, none of us really know it all. If you have not experienced in life yet, you are going to walk into a situation one day when you are like, you know, I am just not sure what to do here. You're going to walk into a situation that you do not have an answer for. It's true. Some of you have been there, done that, and you can say, amen. Hello? But listen, God says, I got some stuff that I will reveal to you when you call. I know some things that you don't yet know. And they will only come into your spirit. They will only be revealed in your heart in that intimate time of prayer. They will only be revealed. Jesus, God is saying, the things that I know are only going to be revealed when you spend time with me. But when you spend time with me and you are intimate with me and we are in communion and there is a positive fellowship, I'm going to show you some things that you haven't even dreamed of yet. I'm going to give you some answers to some of your situations. I'm going to give you some resolve to some of your problems. But it will only come if we get plugged in prayer. Hello? It will only come if we get plugged in to the power of prayer. I love that. I love that verse. Call upon me, and I will show you some great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I will be the first one to tell you that I don't know it all. I don't know half of it all. Hello? But I want to tell you something. God, the creator of the world, knows all things. And oftentimes while we are struggling and we are running to this one for advice, I'm preaching really good now, and we are running to this one for advice and we are running to that one for advice, God all the while is just saying, if you would call upon my name, I would answer you and I'd show you some stuff that you don't even know yet. And they don't know it, so they ain't gonna be able to give you the answer. Hello? How many of you got some stuff you don't have the answer for? Well, I can tell you who's got the answer. I can tell you who gave you the invitation. I can tell you who gave you the promise that he'd call or that he'd answer. Amen. The phone ain't just going to ring and ring and ring and ring and ring on the other end. Heaven's going to pick up. And when he picks up, he said, I'm going to show you some things that you haven't even thought about yet. Oh, I went to the Lord this week in prayer after God began to deal with my heart about this verse. And I said, Lord, I got some stuff that I don't have an answer for. And the Lord said, son, you just keep holding on to my hand and you keep your faith in me, because I got some things you ain't even thought of yet. I got some answers on the way that you haven't even thought about yet. I came to tell somebody this morning, you may need some answers, but God has got your answers. And when you begin to get plugged into the power of prayer, God will open up some revelation knowledge and begin to share with you some of the things that he has in store for each one of us. Amen, amen, amen. I read about his mercy. I read about his mercy. I heard other folks talk about his mercy. But I had mercy revealed to me personally when I found me an old-fashioned altar and began to confess my sin and began to ask Jesus into my heart. Amen. God didn't have to just let me read about mercy or hear others talk about mercy. He flooded my heart with his wonderful mercy. I read about grace. I heard other folk talk about grace. But when I found myself on my knees calling upon the name of the Lord, I found grace for myself. Amen, amen, amen. I read about his compassion and his tender mercies. But when I came to Jesus in prayer, I felt it all for myself. How many of you have ever just had the Lord pick you up and wipe away your bruises and kiss away your boo-boos? Amen. And just show you his tender compassion and his loving mercy. I came to tell somebody this morning that when we call upon the name of the Lord, he becomes a reality in our life. It's not just something that we read about, and it's not just something that we heard somebody else talk about, but it becomes a living thing in our life. But it only comes through that intimate place of prayer. We need this morning to get plugged into the power of prayer. Plugged into the power of prayer. There are four things that I want to bring to your attention quickly this morning. Prayer is powerful because it builds, number one, it builds intimacy with God. Prayer is powerful because it builds an intimate relationship between you and God. We all know individuals in our life that we know on a casual basis. We recognize their face. Oh, hi, how are you?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm good. Hello? We all know individuals that we know on a casual basis. But then there are folks in our life that we know and that know us. Right? That woman right back there, that beautiful, good-looking woman right back there. I have known that woman for 36 years. And she knows me like ain't nobody in this crowd knows me. Why? We have been intimate together for 36 years. I have shared my heart with her. I have shared my fears with her. I have shared my doubts with her. I've shared my triumphs and my victories with her. She knows me like nobody knows me. And yet she don't know me like God knows me. Prayer brings intimacy and intimate relationship. If you really want to know God, if you really want to know his mercy, if you really want to know his grace, if you really want to know his tender compassions and his loving kindness, if you really want to know some of the things that he knows, you got to get in touch with him on an intimate basis. Not a casual Sunday morning, how are you, Jesus? I'm good, how are you? You got everything covered? Yep, we're good. Hello? You understand what I'm talking about? But when you find your secret place to get along with God, and I love corporate prayer, and I love having prayer with my wife, but I'm going to tell you right up front, there ain't nothing like getting alone with the Lord and shutting the world outside and putting on some worship music and bowing my knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and beginning to open up my heart and beginning to hear God speak back into my spirit. Ain't nothing in the world like it. Brother, when I get up from that place of prayer, I feel like I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, and I feel like I've got the victory because I know that God is on my side. Hallelujah. Prayer brings an intimate relationship. Prayer, when you bow your knee before the Lord, not just to ask for things or for God to do something, but when you find a place to pray and you are in intimate fellowship with God, you are literally saying, I just want to be with you. I just want to be in your presence. I will never forget, many years ago, I was holding a revival in Tulare, California. I had been gone from my home and from my family for probably right at 4 weeks. I had been fasting and praying and seeking the Lord for the service that night. I was alone in my hotel room and I was just praying, and the presence of the Lord was so sweet. And there was just such a wonderful visitation of His presence. And at one point, I don't even know how long it'd been, probably been close to maybe an hour. And at one point, I could literally feel the presence of the Lord beginning to lift. And you know what I'm talking about. You know when you have felt that sweet presence of the Lord and you can feel it as it starts to lift. And as it started lifting, I said, oh God, please don't go. If you go, I'm going to be all alone. If you go, I'm going to be alone. And all of a sudden, that presence just came back down. My God, I can still feel it. The presence of the Holy Spirit began to fall again. And He stayed with me and remained with me. And it was just, all I was saying was, please don't go. I don't want to be without your presence. That night, I mean, you know, I concluded in prayer and got dressed for the service and went to the service and preached. And that night, when I began to call people forward for prayer, there was a gentleman by the name of Kenneth Shoemaker who had, I learned later, 7 different heart attacks. He told me later, he said, my heart was literally just mush. The doctors said that the muscle of my heart was just mush. And he said, I don't know if you could understand this or not, but the weight of a sheet laying on my chest was more than I could bear. He said, I would get up and make it from the bedroom to the living room and be exhausted the rest of the day. He used to roof houses for a living. He was a preacher of the gospel. That night, I asked for folks to come up in prayer. And I've never seen it since, and I'd never seen it prior to that. But when Kenneth Shoemaker walked up in front of me, I laid my hand on his head, and literally, I mean literally, he came straight up off of the floor and went back about 10 to 12 feet and landed flat on his back and just vibrated just like that. And all of a sudden, this man who had had 7 different heart attacks that the doctors had given up on jumped to his feet and went running around the sanctuary hollering, glory to God! A year later, I went back to see him. He was roofing houses for a living, preaching the gospel, and was absolutely healed. Do you think I had anything to do with that? No, I was just in the right place. Amen. For God to touch my life, to be able to do something good and great for someone else. When we get in the presence of the Lord, it'll change us. It'll empower us. It'll get in us, and when it gets in us, it can't help but get out on somebody else. Amen. Prayer brings intimacy with God. Prayer brings, the only thing that I could attribute something like that happening to was just simply being in the presence of the Lord. Please don't go. If you go, I will be alone. Don't go. He said, all right, I'll stay. And I'm going to do some stuff in you that's going to do some stuff on the outside of you. Hello? Glory to God. How many of you want God to do some stuff through you? Then get in a place where He can get some stuff in you. Amen? Get in a place where He can get some stuff. Plug in. to the power of God. The second thing, amen, the second thing that I want to bring to you, prayer brings honor to his name. Prayer brings honor to his nature and to his character. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? There is a story in John chapter 6, long about verse number 53 through verse 68, 67, somewhere in there. There's a big crowd following Jesus. They are thronging him, and Jesus says these words, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And I say unto you, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you at all." And all of them went, "What did he say? You want us to eat your flesh and drink your blood?" And the Bible said that many of them said, "This is a hard saying." And they turned around and they all walked off. The disciples were having a little bit of a problem digesting that too. And they're like, can you say that again? Jesus said in verse 63, "The words that I say, I'm not talking about in the natural realm. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." And then Jesus asked them a question. He said, "Will you go away also?" And I love what Peter says in verse number 68. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life." You have the words of eternal life. "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let me just tell you this morning that when we take time out of our busy schedule to pray, we are in essence saying by our actions, "You alone are God. I don't have anywhere else I can take my trouble. I don't have anywhere else that I can take my need. There is nobody else that has the answer." When we go before the Lord in prayer, we are in essence saying, amen, "You alone are God, and you alone are the one that can provide for my need." We honor his nature and his character when we pray. Number three, prayer reveals faith in his word. We all could quote 2 Chronicles 14 or 7 and 14. "If my people which are called by my name shall" what? "Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I would forgive their sin and I would heal their land." We could all quote Luke 18 and 1. "Jesus spake a parable unto his disciples unto this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not." We could all quote Ephesians 6:18. The scripture said that we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We could all quote 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where the Bible said, "Pray without ceasing." We could all quote the verses that teach us that we are to be a praying people. Jesus himself said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." We are to be a prayerful people. But oftentimes, we only pray when we need something. Plug into the power of prayer on a daily basis and watch God starts change some things in your life. When we pray, we are in essence saying, "I believe your word is true." Yes, we are to pray without ceasing, and therefore I will pray. Yes, we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and therefore I will pray. How many of you have ever had the enemy try to hinder your prayer life? He'll give you 191 reasons why you're too busy to pray. Hello? But when you pray, you are in essence saying, I believe the word of God is true. I believe that God's word is true. Prayer builds intimacy. Prayer honors the name and the nature and the character of God. Prayer reveals that we have faith in His word. And prayer affirms God's purpose and God's will in our life. Prayer affirms God's will and God's purpose in our life. What did Jesus do when he faced the most monumental task of his life? There in the garden, he prayed. He prayed. And this is what he said, not my will, but your will be done. Prayer brings us to the place where it confirms or affirms the purpose and the plan of God for our life. When we pray, we are revealing our dependency upon Him to lead us and guide us. Now, I know sometimes we think we get up in the morning and we've got the whole day handled. But I'm going to tell you something. If we'll take some time to spend alone with the Lord in prayer, He'll prepare us for what the day has in store for us. Hello? Prayer affirms the purpose of God. When we pray, we are revealing our dependency upon His leading and upon His guiding. When we pray, we are revealing, or basically we are saying, God, your purpose for my life is more important than my will. Your purpose for my life is more important than my will. I can tell you right now, the last thing that I ever wanted to do in my life was be a preacher. Not that it's a bad thing. I would have just been absolutely, completely, 100% comfortable to sit on the back pew and go, amen. Preaching it right, bro. I am not the kind of guy that, you know, has got to be out front. But when God began to deal with my heart about preaching His word, I couldn't say no, because His purpose was far greater than my will. His purpose was far greater than my desires. And it took me a while. I promise you that, it took me a while. There were people that were coming by and patting me on the back just because I'd get, you know, kind of anointed and exhort while I was preaching or while I was leading worship. There'd be people come by and go, how you doing, preacher? And I'm like, I'm no preacher. My dad's a preacher. I've got uncles that are preacher, but I am no preacher. Let's just get that straight right up front. And what they saw and what I wouldn't admit were two different things. Hello? But I finally came to the place in prayer where I said, okay, God, your purpose is far greater than my will. Your purpose is far greater than what I desire. You do with me whatever you want to. Amen. That was over 30 years ago, and I've never looked back since, thank God. What I'm saying this morning is that when we spend time in prayer, when we plug into prayer and we plug into that place of intimate fellowship with God, God will begin to reveal some things in our life and some things in our heart that brings purpose and brings vision. Amen. And we will come to the place where we are willing to say, not my will, but your will be done. Prayer affirms God's purpose and God's will for our lives. Let me conclude this morning by just giving you some verses. Psalms 119, verse number 2, said, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. Isaiah 55 and verse number 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Psalms 105 and verse number 4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore." And let me just take a moment this morning to just distinguish between seeking the face of God and the hand of God. Amen. Many of us are seeking the hand of God. And what I mean by that is we're just saying, "Lord, give me, give me, give me. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. I need you to provide what you can provide." But when you seek the face of God, you're saying, "I don't care about all of the things. I just need you." And the scripture said, "Seek the face of God." Hosea, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. It is time that we seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon our hearts. Amos chapter 5 and verse number 4 said, "For thus saith the Lord, seek me and you shall live." Amos 5 and 6 says, "Seek the Lord and you shall find life." I came to tell you this morning, plug into prayer and find life and find it more abundantly in him. Amen, amen, amen. Plug in to the power of prayer. Some of us have been unplugged for so long, we forgot where the plug is. Hello? Well, prayer is for the ministry. Nope. Prayer is for every single child of God. Here's what I encourage you to do if you have been neglecting your prayer life. Crawl up in the lap of your Father. You don't have to go with a, "I need" or "I want." Just simply crawl up in the lap of your Father. Tell him I love you. There's no one like you are. There is no one to whom I can turn. I come to you because I am in desperate need of your love. I am in desperate need of your fellowship. But I promise you, before you get very many words out of your mouth, when you enter into his presence and crawl up into his lap, he will just open up the windows of heaven and let the Holy Spirit begin to pour out on your heart. I've been sitting on the patio watching the sun go down silently alone and just begin to say, "Lord, you are so good. You are so wonderful. You are so blessed, rich toward us." And you know what? Before I got too many things out of my mouth, he saw my heart. And he would just begin to open up the spirit and begin to flood my heart. Now, I know it sounds really crazy for a grown 56-year-old man to be sitting on the patio with the sun going down and tears running down my face, with my hands toward heaven saying, "Thank you. You're so good. Thank you." But I'm telling you this morning, when we plug into the power of prayer, plug into that intimate place with God, he will answer. He invited. He will answer. And he'll show us some things that we have never even thought of. Some things that he desires to bring into our life, but they will only come in a moment of revelation through prayer. We honor him. We exalt him when we pray. We are to be a prayerful people. Do not neglect your prayer life. Bow your heads, please. Plugged in to the power of prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what fountain of joy could be opened up upon our lives, all because we neglect the fountain of life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, touch our spirits here this morning. Help us to pick up the plug and get connected to a prayer life that radically changes us and radically changes others. Thank you for your invitation. Call unto me. Thank you for your promise. I will answer. Thank you for your inexhaustible resources. I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I pray this morning that if we have been neglectful of our prayer lives, that you will convict our hearts and that you will cause us to see the error of our way, and that we will become a prayerful individual, not just on Sunday mornings, not just when we think about it, but a disciplined time to come to you. I ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Speak to our hearts, heads bowed, eyes closed. Is there anyone here this morning that would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, you preached this message just for me today? God sees your hands. Yes, God sees yours and yours and yours. Anyone else? How many hands would be lifted that would just signify to the Lord that you would say, God, I'm gonna resurrect my prayer life. I've been neglectful. I'm sorry. I'm going to resurrect my prayer life. God sees your hands. See, I'm telling you right now, God will change us when we get in prayer. Some of the things that we struggle with will become no big deal when we begin to pray. Some of our old ugly attitudes, he will just simply move them away when we get in prayer, because we become more like him. Hands lifted all over the building. Stand to your feet. Lord, thank you for every hand lifted here this morning. Thank you for hungry hearts and honest hearts. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that for every hand that has been lifted here this morning, by your grace, that you will enable them, and through your Holy Spirit, that you will enable them to plug in to the mighty power of prayer. Change us. Change the things around us. Change individuals around us. Change circumstances around us. Open our hearts to you, and in doing so, open our hearts to provision. Thank you for bringing this to our mind this morning, Lord, to our hearts this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead and sing, son.